الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، on one occasion Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, a very great Sahabi, great alim faqih, he came in the majlis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as it happened sometimes, just above his voice, as he was sitting down, he read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Like sometimes we also sometimes read, La ilaha illallah. We sit down, Subhanallah, something like that. So he read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam asked him, Atadri ma ma'ana la ilaha illallah? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, faqihul ummat. Great sahabi, great, very knowledgeable. He said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu alam. And this was not only out of respect, even Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, out of respect also they should say. But Shurra Hadith say that he actually did not know the meaning. And today we also, if we think, perhaps even as ulama, what is the meaning of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? And very, very sadly, many of us have used it only, like for example, if we see a pig, for example, and we say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Or somebody doing haram, and we say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We have only used it for that. But the meaning is so great, and the virtues of it are so great. And it was nobody else who could inform us, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says, once he met one mufti sahab, his name was Mufti Abdul Muqeet. So Hazrat asked him, do you know the meaning of Muqeet? Your name is Abdul Muqeet. So he said, no, I don't know. And he's a Mufti. Al Muqeet is the one who gives quut, food to everyone. That is Al Muqeet. So we the slaves of. So many times can be a Mufti also. But basic things, even your own name's meaning you don't know. And that, what does it mean? So it's very necessary that these things, we shouldn't just like take it, we should just try and find out. That is when we will get the enjoyment of the deen. Just as in the Ashar we heard, Dono jahan ka, usko hasil nahi, do jahan ka maza, usko hasil nahi. That person has got no enjoyment of dunya also, of deen, of akhirat. Jo tera dard ka hamil nahi, who hasn't got the love of Allah Ta'ala. That person who has the love of Allah, he will enjoy, his namaz will be different. He'll enjoy his namaz. Most of us don't enjoy our namaz. Tilawat we don't enjoy. Saving our eyes from some woman, we don't enjoy it. In fact, we enjoy looking at haram. But to enjoy not to look, like as our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, when Yusuf Ali Salatu Wasalam, it was told, you must go to jail now for a sin which he did not commit. We said, As-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay. That the prison is more beloved to me than what that woman is calling me to. We can imagine today a very righteous, pious person also, invited by a woman, where everything is like, so to say, in your favor. Doors are locked, privacy is there, nobody will know, and you can do what. And the woman of high status, beautiful woman, she invites you. But what does Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam say? The prison is more enjoyable to me than that what she was calling me to. Our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi also says, once he mentioned this in Bangladesh, so one alim stood up and asked Hazrat that the woman called him. So how is the sigha? It appears to be like a muzakkar sigha. Yad'unani. So Hazrat said, Allah's great fadal, that what I learned 60, 70 years ago. And Hazrat read the gardan and showed that this is a mu'annas sigha. Though it appears to be outwardly a muzakkar sigha, it's a male. What will we say in English? A male, what you refer to males like he is. You won't make the mistake for he is, her, unless the person whose language is not English and he has just learned. So many people make those mistakes then. So anyway, Hazrat said that, so Hazrat explained that grammar rule also, after having learned it, of after 60, 70 years. So anyway, when you have the love of Allah, then you enjoy all these things. So this is what we must try and develop also. So anyway, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, رضي الله تعالى عنه, whether he knew the meaning. He said, no, I don't know. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained the meaning. And what we now also generally we have in our minds, think about it little and see the meaning and explanation which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the meaning of it is, la hawla, there are certain things which are mahzuf, which are not expressed here. And when you have to take that into account, then you understand the meaning. This is like a formula, where all the details are not given, it's just a formula. So la hawla actually is in full, la hawla amma asiyatillah. There is no turning away from the disobedience of Allah. If you just read it like that, la hawla, there is no turning away. Wala quwwata, and there is no power but by Allah. Now how much do we understand from that? You don't understand the meaning, what is it? No turning away, no power but by Allah. How much will anyone understand? But the meaning which only our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have taught us, that it is la hawla, and like we will perhaps put it in brackets today, or we will explain the meaning. There is no turning away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Wala quwwata, and there is no power, and in brackets, on the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Illa billah. But by the help and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So a person can never stay away from sin, but by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And a person can never do good, but by the help of Allah Ta'ala. So this also will correct our aqidah also, that we can't do anything. And it will make his islah also, that a person thinks, I'll stay away from guna. This kalima teaches us, and by the reading of it, we will realize, I can't stay away from guna. And consequently, no pride will come into me, that I'm a very big buzurg, I will never commit any guna. No, I can't, but by only if Allah protects me. And all the good that I'm doing, and all the good I want to do, I can never do it, but by the help of Allah Ta'ala. Also, it is mentioned that as long as Allah is giving you, opening you, giving you in your heart to make namaz, to make ibadat, etc., grab it, don't lose it. Because it's not always that Allah gives that opportunity. And when we appreciate it, Allah increases us. But if we don't, I feel like making namaz, but now the family is here today, let me now just make namaz at home today. Or I'm gone fishing trip. Now I'll make my namaz as qaza. Nobody is making namaz. To get water to make wuzu is not so easy now. And it's not comfortable how at home you just open your tap. You are comfortable here now to go and get water from the dam, from the river. When I haven't got a container, now you don't make your namaz. So it came in your heart. And you didn't appreciate it. Allah takes away tawfiq from there. So as long as Allah is giving tawfiq, appreciate it. And this tawfiq we can also understand. Hazrat Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, Rahmatullah Ali, and his internationally famous Masnavi Sharif, not only known to the Muslims, known to non-Muslims also. All regard it as a very great piece of poetry, of great, great merit and work. He also, as long as Allah gave him tawfiq, he wrote 26,500 ash'ar. That was as long as Allah gave him. And then when Allah took that tawfiq away, the last poem of his is left half. He didn't even complete that one poem. Allah took that tawfiq away, now it was over, his work was accomplished. And then many ulama after that completed that. But they did it according to their understanding, their level, and what Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi. So we should appreciate. So that as long as Allah gives us tawfiq, nothing can be done without the tawfiq of Allah and without the help of Allah. So our aqidah must also come right. Our islah is also made in that I'm nothing whatsoever. I know myself, I will fall in the worst sin, and that I'm getting tawfiq to be sitting in the majlis now. I am such that I could have been now at the worst places, committing the worst gunas at this moment. It's only Allah by His fazal. And when a person has that, and everything he attributes to Allah Ta'ala, when this reality comes into him, Allah Ta'ala says, but my banda, you also made effort. You made the effort. I helped you. I guided you. And when a person feels I did it, Allah says, if my help was not with you, if I did not put it in your heart, what should you be able to do? In other words, you can do nothing on your own. It is all by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. And then it comes in the hadith riwayat, when a person reads this kalima, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and so easy, so few words to be read. And like the abbreviated form, without the details, just the word, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then Abanda reads it, on the first, on the ground. And we are who? Full of dirt. We are nafsa ammara we got with us. Our nafs who tells us to do evil. We are all that, and we just read it. Then Allah, by the arsh, Allah declares, Aslama abdi wastaslama. That my banda has surrendered himself, and all his matters he has surrendered to me. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes that just this virtue is what a great virtue that we as sinners, as insignificant, 7-8 billion people in the world, who am I amongst them? What is my position? Nothing whatsoever. But just I read this, and Allah Rabbul Izzat by the Arsh is speaking about me. And Allah is declaring for me, particularly for myself, Aslama Abdi, that and what Abdi, my banda. Now, that Allah is calling you my banda. What a great thing. And what great Aslama, he has surrendered himself. Wastaslama, and he has handed all of his matters over to me. Allah is declaring. So what a great thing. So this kalima is extremely valuable. And we must read it minimum 100 times a day. Just last time read the whole kalima. And in between just la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And think and realize that as I'm reading it, Allah by the arsh is declaring about me. And the shura hadith, commentators of hadith say, to who is Allah saying this? Aslama abdi wastaslama. Allah is saying it to the malaika. Imagine our talk is being talked of as a good, we are being praised like by Allah in the assembly of the malaika. What a thing. In this world, if somebody praises you, today there are many people who praise people, but no matter how much it can go viral on the social platforms, but still how many people? How many 7-8 billion people in the world? Definitely not even 1 billion. That even if it's gone viral, and even if it is all 7-8 billion in front of all the malaika, and by Allah Ta'ala, what a great thing. We must not fall prey to like things we must be spoken about of the people of this dunya. It's so, even if they speak, and good they speak, but it's so insignificant. Allah speaks about you. And who Allah is the absolute, the one and only, the greatest, the end of all, the beginning of all, who has got no beginning, who has got no end. He speaks about you. And then in the assembly of the malaika, Allah is speaking. So and just so easy for us just to read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Even just one time. And very fortunate will be those, as I'm reading it, we read it also. At least now, if we don't make amal on it now, how can we have hope of going to make amal on it afterwards? Now if we make amal, then inshallah we'll make amal later also. So this kalima. And then shura hadith, Allah reward them. What does it mean? Aslama abdi, my banda has surrendered my himself. Hey, abdi fawwada sair al-umur ilayya. My banda, all his matters, he has handed over to me. Now that Allah, you take care of my matters. Now what have you got to worry? Like in this dunya, you have any work, a court case, any transfer of property, any matter, a legal matter, and you hand it over to a lawyer, and he's a good lawyer, a person who is efficient, does his work properly, you hand it over to him, then after that you don't have to worry. And if he's a good lawyer, you don't have to phone and ask him, how far is the work gone? Is the work done? Where are we now? What's happening? He'll keep you informed. Regularly you'll get your post that this is done. We're waiting for this signature. We're waiting for that resolution of a meeting. Everything he'll keep you. And if it's like a legal matter and somebody wants to speak to you also, that let's drop the case, let's make a out-of-court settlement. What you say, don't speak to me, speak to my lawyer. My lawyer will handle everything. I got nothing to do with it now. And who na'mal mawla wa na'mal wakil wa na'mal nasir wa na'mal kafil. Allah is the greatest of all who you can hand your matters of over to. Allah is the greatest helper who can help you. He's not a person you ask help and tomorrow you have to remind him also again that I asked you for that favor. No, that Allah will, He'll come to you. You don't have to go to Allah. You handed it over to Allah Ta'ala. So, Aslama Abdi, ay Abdi, fawwada sa'ir al-umur ilayhi bi asriha. From the very root, he has handed his matters over to me. And Allah Ta'ala will look after those matters. So whatever it is, just read this kalima also. Anyone is ill in the family, we know somebody, hand it over. Financial problems we got. Fights and arguments we got. They just hand it over to Allah. Allah will look after your matters. And you carry on with your work. And your work is not dunya's work really, your deen's work. You concentrate in your namaz. Don't let your concentration, because of this problem you've got, now you can't concentrate in your namaz. Your thoughts are just in that thought. No, you concentrate on what you have to. You have handed it over to Allah Ta'ala. So Banda has handed all these matters to me. Aslama abdi wastaslama. And he has now, he has handed it over to me and he has surrendered himself to me. Now I'm taking in charge. If you hand yourself over to somebody who, like for example, you have this gangsters, for example, you pay them protection fees and then they look after you. Or security, you have security, guard security, people, personnel who look after you, now they will look after you. So you have handed all your matters over to Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. Now Allah will look after everything. It is total mental, complete. You have itminan, rahat, no worry. Heart, from your heart also, no worry. As we read, and we read it regularly, and we try and concentrate on the meaning, reading it without any concentration and meaning is more better than all the things of this world. And reading it with concentration and meaning is better than reading it a million times without concentration. So if we concentrate and we think of the meaning and we read it, that is extremely valuable. So if we read it with this, then Allah will give us complete peace of mind. All our matters. The world can turn upside down, which comes in the hadith, like on people who stay awake on each night for the ibadat of Allah, Qiyamah's day, their hearts will be at ease. They won't have any worry. The things can go upside down in the world, their hearts will be still at ease. Otherwise, we know our condition. One small thing, a phone call came and nobody spoke on that side. Or if somebody blew in the phone, oh, now finished, they made jadu on, you can't sleep, you don't know what to do. Oh, just somebody made jadu on me now. And it's a private number. And they just laughed, giggled in a funny way. Or they just blew in the phone. finish with us. But a person who has got this, all these things mean nothing to him. So hand over our matters to Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala takes over all our matters. And this, we are so fortunate. It isn't we had to go and make research of this. We didn't have to go in laboratories or libraries and go and research the matter. We've ready made, it is given to us by Nabi alayhi salam. But perhaps because it came so easy to us, Mali mufdile be raham. When you get things for free, you don't appreciate. What the greatest treasures have been given to us from the greatest authorities, the absolute authorities, but we don't appreciate it. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We all must have learned it when we were still small children. Perhaps by the age of 4 or 5, we all knew about la hawla. But we are now 50 and 60, but we still don't know Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata. We knew it when we were 4 or 5, and we still don't know it when we are 50, 60. And what a great treasure Allah Ta'ala has given us. So this is a very great treasure which Allah has given. And it comes here. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said that Akthiru qawl la ilaha illallah. Read in abundance. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, Kanzun min kunuzil jannah. It's a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. And in one hadith, more further, it is specified, it is from under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And the arsh, the throne of Allah, is the roof, the ceiling of Jannah. That is the highest place of Jannah. So this la hawla wa la quwwata is right from there. That great, great treasure from there, Allah Ta'ala has given us this la hawla wa la quwwata. And why is it called a treasure? Ulama have explained various reasons. That one, what is called a treasure, like for example, in your garden, in the floor of your house, there is a treasure planted. Somebody has put, at some time, whenever, 1,000 gold coins, but you don't know about it. That is what is called a treasure. You've got it, but you don't know you've got it. So like it, there is a treasure there, but you don't know about it. So this is a great treasure which we don't know about it. Other ulama have written, it's called a treasure because it is the means to give you the treasures of Jannah. You just read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and you'll get all the treasures of Jannah. That is why it is called a treasure. It is called a treasure that we have got it. A child of 3-4 years also knows la hawla wa la quwwata. We are 60 and 70, but we still don't know the value. It's there, it is valuable, but we don't know the value. Somebody gives his son, husband gives his wife a credit card loaded with 2 million rand. But for them, they don't know it's just a card. They not even, I must use it. I don't know, they don't know the value. But the day they know, oh, this card is one small little plastic card, but it's got the value of 10 million rand, 20 million rand. So this la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, for us it is only words. And for many of us, we just use it also without value. For anything, we just say la hawla wa la quwwata, like no value to us. It's a treasure. It's got value, we don't know the value. That is why it's a treasure. So it's extremely valuable, these words which Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala has given us of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hadrat Makhul radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is a famous tabi', and he was from Sudan, but a very great alim. He lived in Syria. And whenever he used to write a fatwa, then before he writes, he used to read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This also, if we can get in our lives, that La ilaha illallah be on our tongues all the time. Whenever you have to make a signature, whenever you have to make a decision, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah will save you from wrong decision. Allah will let you make the right decision. And we all have to be making decisions all the time. As we read dua of istikhara, this has also got istikhara in it. That Allah, you protect me from all the wrong, and you grant me all the good. that today must I go, must I take this route going to work or wherever you are going, or must I take that route? Read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Whenever we are lost anywhere also, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and you get guided immediately. Guidance from Allah comes to you, even lost on the road somewhere. And we don't know now which road, where am I now? Where must I go? How must I go? Just read la hawla. We are lost in this world, in the gunas of this world. It's so simple. Just tell the person who is in guna. And many times, many people who are in good, they also come, I need help. I'm bad. I've committed. I want to change my life. And even if they don't want to, just tell them, just start reading 10 times a day. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You got nothing to lose. Whether he's a drug addict, whether he's an alcoholic, womanizer, gambler, just then you read 10 times, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And when a person says, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, by the arsh Allah tabarak ta'ala says, this meaning of aslama abdi, an inqada wa tarakal inad, that my banda has now become obedient to me, inqada. When we just say la hawla, Allah Rabbul Izzat says, my banda has become now obedient to me. Wa taraka al inad, and he has given disobedience. But he's still in guna. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah explained it, then the malaika look up to Allah, oh Allah, you declaring that he has given up guna. And now he has become obedient, he has become righteous. But we see he's still in guna. They, in surprise, they look up at Allah. Then Allah's gharat, Allah Ta'ala's self-respect and honor and greatness of that I said something and still it is going the other way. Then Allah puts conditions on that person that he gives up guna. For example, he wants to go to cinema. He wants to go to a wrong place. Then he gets a puncher on the road. Now that puncher, or he bumps somebody, a small little bump. Now, because of that, he's not going. It wasn't that the puncture happened or anything like that. Allah made a blockage for him, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah explained so beautifully that for us to understand. Like little children, they like to eat sand. I don't know that we used to hear, but now I don't think little children eat sand anymore, or they don't get sand anymore anywhere to eat. But before, children used to like to eat the sand. So then the mother tells the father that take out all this the lawn where they stand and put now pavers there. My son, my child is eating sand and it's very unhealthy for him. Or then that is done. Then the neighbor, the children also got all their tricks. And though they are so small, but they also got their trick. When the neighbor's child comes and plays, this your child tells him, when you come, you must bring sand in your pocket. Now the mother, oh okay, now she realizes they're 10 steps ahead of me. Now she puts up a customs table when the neighbor's child comes in place. First you have to, we will do customs, whether you have come with some, any illegal thing. All the sand you brought, not, it's prohibited here. It's illegal, so we'll check first. So anyway, so Allah Ta'ala will make it that it will be blocked off. You want to do guna? But by the barakat of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah will remove it from you. And you will get saved from this. Many of our students especially, many of them have the problem, masturbation, they come. Just tell them to keep on reading la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah will remove this from them. That desire Allah will take away also. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, by reading this, Allah ta'ala removes the desire for guna. Great, great mashayikh made the whole islah of the murids only on this one wazifa. Just keep on reading la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So Allah Ta'ala says that my banda aslama inqada wa taraka al-inada. He has now submitted himself and he has given up disobedience. Then Allah Ta'ala, Allah makes it, then Allah takes over. And we become shibayat wa tashayikh to guide us. Allah becomes your murabbi now. And Allah guides you now. And your shaykh can only lead you, tell you what to do. He can't hold your hand. He's not with you 24 hours. He can't control your thoughts. But Allah, everything is in the control of Allah. Now when Allah takes over, when Allah Himself says, the meaning of it, which the Shura Hadith explained, in qada abdi wa taraka al-inada, Allah makes that to happen now. So you'll become a wali, you'll give up your gunas, you'll incline towards good now, and you'll become khalis, completely Allah's banda. And you'll reach that stage that min husni islamil mar'i, of the beauty of a person's Islam. He's a Muslim, but now beauty must come in his Islam. In his being a Muslim, beauty must come into him. Tarkahu, that he gives up ma la ya'nihi, what he doesn't need. Haram is out of the question. Even halal things now, all extra, unnecessary things. As he was progresses to Allah, he will start giving up all the la yani things. Whether it is in his home, whether it is in his bathroom and toilet, all the unnecessary things. Whether it is in the bedroom, whether it is in the lounge, and we've got our showcase also. All the showcases, all la yani. There's no benefit. It's just there for. It's called a showcase. It's just showcasing things. And what are you showcasing also? Not even your own achievements. Just all other things, some ornaments and that, which got no meaning also. That you are showcasing. So you will automatically start giving up all those things. All by the barakat of la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So it's a very great wazifa that Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala has given us. Very, very simple. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that tell your ummah to read in abundance, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It is by it Allah will pray. Every time you read, a tree of yours will be planted in Jannah. Just by reading la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So this kalima, so in qada abdi wa taraka al-inad, my banda has become obedient and he's given up disobedience. It's a very great treasure from Allah tabaraka ta'ala. It has got great value and so easy to read it. And as we know, the wazifa, it's not a sunnah, it's not from the hadith, but our buzurgs have taught us 500 times, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, with durood e tunjina at the beginning and at end, and how many people all along, and to us, who we told them to read, they saw miracles happening by it. So this is a very, very great wazifa, very great kalima that we have got. And we have learned it when we were small. We should read the kalimas at the top of our voice. When the ustad in the class should make us read our kalimas, we should read them loudly. But we had no idea what the meaning of it is. Unfortunately, till today we don't know the meaning. And we don't value it. It is very, very great. Every matter of our deen, which is looks like small, but it is very, very great. So these are great, great treasures that Allah Ta'ala has given us. It also comes in the hadith that Hadrat Makhul radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, if the cure of 99 diseases, this is la hawla wa la quwwata, and the lowest of the 99, the other 98 are more serious and more bigger. The lowest of them all is depression. Hum. And hum, our Shaykh rahmatullah explains it, hum alladhi yudhibul insan, which may totally melt a human being. He doesn't want to speak to anyone, he doesn't want to eat, he doesn't want to meet with anyone. He's completely in a terrible depression. La hawla wa la quwwata is the cure for that. Whether it's a drug addict, whether it's an alcoholic, whether it's a womanizer, gambler, whoever, just get them, we all read, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it will save us. In another riwayat by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, it is the cure of 70 diseases and 70 problems, the lowest of which is poverty. That you won't, poverty won't come to you. You'll never be short of money. And also that we should understand, when a rich man is not short of 100, 200 rand. He's short of 20 million. He's short of 50 million. A poor man is short of 2 rand. He's short of 5 rand. For a rich man, what is 2 rand, 5 rand? So whoever you are, a poor man and your need, or a rich man and your need, la hawla wa la quwwata, you will never be in need of anything. Allah will fulfill all your needs. Our deen is a complete al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. For all our matters, many today, unfortunately, our ulama also we don't understand. We do need psychiatrists, we feel. We do need counselors, we feel. We do need rehab centers. We can't do. La hawla is the solution. If we have got deen in our lives and we know the value, and a very important thing in this is our yaqeen, our conviction. If we don't have that conviction, we can have the knowledge, but without the conviction. Like, for example, many of our local black people who have got the ancestral beliefs of them, that the ancestors control them. The Christian missionaries also have got a big problem. Many, many of them registered that they have accepted Christianity. But when you analyze, that ancestral, that yaqeen of death is not in Christianity. It is still in that ancestral things. Many of our people, whose aqidahs are also right, but if you go and analyze, they still got lot of regard for Bacha Peer, and for Uras, and for making mannat on Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. Many of our people, they still got that yaqeen is still there. So this yaqeen is required. And how many of us really, we might be teaching right up till Bukhari Sharif, but we haven't got yaqeen on the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We teach it as words to the students, but we haven't got yaqeen on it. We give bayans also, and we explain also, but we haven't got the yaqeen. This yaqeen, and we should make dua to Allah. Allah gives us complete yaqeen on our deen. And if we got anything, then today a good alim, very academic, very clever, is how he can explain the hadith to suit the present conditions. Not to bring the yaqeen of people on the hadith, on the asal. But how the asal, how we today, that no, you must, today insurance also, you can't do without insurance. Everything is right in the Quran and hadith, but today conditions are such. You have to have insurance. So that is the alim will also explain it like that. And he will give fatwas also like that. He can be a great mufti also. But if that yaqeen is not on the Quran and hadith, and then we go out of the limits. Of course, within the limits of Sharia, asbab is 100% there. And to understand asbab, as for all of us, if we want to, we should try and study. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi should explain this very beautifully. In Surah Waqia, أَفْرَيْتُمْ مَا تَمْنُونَ أَفْرَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُطُونَ أَفْرَيْتُمْ مَا تَشْرَبُونَ أَفْرَيْتُمْ مَا تَزْرَعُونَ That page, study that, and we'll understand the status of asbab and the status of yaqeen. Everything, asbab on its place is right, and what the correct yaqeen must be, that will be also corrected. So this is to understand our deen completely. Otherwise, very easy that a person who speaks on this yaqeen, he is now transgressing the limits now. And he's denying asbab also. So our deen is a complete deen. And فَانْزُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُوا دِينَكُمْ See from whom you are taking your deen. If the lecturer, the person is making bayan, the sheikh in the khanqa, the ustad in the classroom, if he hasn't got yaqeen on what he's teaching, and this was some 40 years ago or so, there was a survey in Australia, and with regard to the Christian priests, etc. And it was found that what they preach, they don't believe in what they preach. And today we have to see, many people say, Maulana makes this bayan, but his actions are opposite. And we say to pacify the people, don't see his actions, see what he's telling you. Practice on what he's telling you. But if he has got conviction, his life will be different. And if we want to, and we look for all sort of what we call loopholes, and we want to come out from all sides, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were not like that at all. And because of them, where Allah ta'ala took them. When they denied the asbab to such an extent, when they had to cross, when they went to Bahrain, and the sea they had to cross, they didn't look for bridges. They didn't go and build bridges, but they turned to Allah Ta'ala. And they crossed without the hoofs of their horses even getting wet. And the other great miracles that they had, what was the consequence of that? That the crowns of the kings of Persia and Rome fell at their feet. They didn't have to work to get all that. And very valuable the crowns of those kings were. And the queens and the princesses of the kingdoms of Persia and Rome became their slave women. They didn't even have to pay meher for them. And they were not limited to four wives. Four wives they were limited. But slave women, there is no limit. As many as they were, Allah gave them all that. But all this is when they were the masters of the world. Then the whole world were their slaves. But today we voluntarily have become the masters of the dogs of the world. So today we have got zillat, we have got disgrace at our lot. Today we are the masters, the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kuntum khayra ummatin. And we are the people, the mankind at large. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. And in Bani Adam, the Muslims and the mu'min and the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah made us the masters of the world. But we, instead of being masters, we went and become the slaves of our slaves. Okay, all this whole world, they were our slaves. If we would have stuck on Islam properly, the whole world would be our slaves. But we became their slaves voluntarily. So they became our masters. And so much their mastery is over us, that even all their fashion, their lifestyle, that we also, it's an honor to wear torn jeans and pay more money for torn jeans, for patched jeans, for half socks, for all their filthy things. And we are gone out of line. And we are following and become the slaves of the... If we become the slaves of Allah, and we follow the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we realize our position. And the most important is our iman and yaqeen. Then see what position Allah will give us. So anyway, this kalima, la hawla wa la quwwata, Allah makes that we all at least minimum 100 times a day. And if we read it, and not only reading, but with the meaning. Just like, for example, to understand how valuable it is to read it with concentration. That when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told one of his wives, our auspicious and great mother, that what you were reading from the morning, till ishraq, till shash time, I read three times, subhanallah bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa ridha nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada kalimati. And I got more reward. Shurrah hadith, Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali, whom our shaykh calls with great fervor, muhaddith azim, what a great muhaddith. He says that it is not that words are valuable, but the concentration, that the word is, the zikr in that also is only subhanallah bihamdi. The other words are not the zikr. They are the concentration. How much of Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, how much? Bi adad khalqihi. That is that concentration, as much as Allah's creation. بِعَدَدَ خَلْقِهِ وَرِضَى نَفْسِهِ, how much Allah is pleased with. وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَاتِ, and how much the ink is used to write the greatness of Allah, His kalimat. وَمِدَادَ كَلِمَاتِهِ وَزِنَةَ عَرْشِهِ, and the weight of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So much subhanallah bihamdihi. Now just if you read subhanallah bihamdihi and you're not thinking anything, that was the difference of Hazrat Umm Salma radiyallahu anha, one Juwayriya, she, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, she was reading. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam read it 3 times with all the this meaning and concentration. That made it so valuable. So our zikr also, one is we are half sleepy, and we are, it's also valuable. Much more valuable than everything of the dunya. But to do it with that concentration. So Allah give us tawfiq. Every day is 100 times. With this little explanation, there is still much more explanation of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This little bit. And not an empty La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Not a La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah for a pig, a swine or something. But the real meaning of where it is and what we have made of it. If we read it, great, great benefits for us. In as this few that we have mentioned, what great benefits. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshaAllah.